Well, Father, I truly do thank you, even for the seriousness right now, where there was complete joy. Now there's a seriousness that has settled in the atmosphere. I thank you, Father God, that you are an on-time God, and you know exactly what we need, exactly how we need it, Father. Father God, as I look around, there's many broken hearts in here this morning. There are hearts, Father God, that has situations that they don't know how they're going to turn out. But Father God, they still came into the house of God to worship you, to give you honor and glory. And I'm asking, Father God, that you work triumphantly in their lives. Bring them the answers that they need and to set the captives free. And Father, I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, this is a word from God, and I entitled it, Courts Are in Session. God said, enter into my rest, little ones. Now, right there, you should obey that, right there. Enter into my rest, little ones, and know that I am in control of all things. These are desperate times and require desperate measures. I have all that is needed to defeat the enemy of your homes and workplaces. I know that you are battle weary, and I know that the war has escalated. But I also know that I am all power and authority, and I am the great I am. There is none before me, and there will be none after me. God is God. Always has been, always will be. Too many are teetering on the edge of spiritual despair because they have lost sight of the cross of Jesus Christ. His sacrificial blood has triumphed over every trial. His blood is the complete shield for all who are engulfed in the darkness that has shrouded the land. You know, when God said at the beginning, enter into my rest, worry is a sin. If you're worrying about anything, you have not entered into his rest. And if you read the word, worry is a sin that's going to have to be dealt with. So give God your problem. You, at this point, you have not been able to solve it, have you? And all you're doing is spinning around in circles, day in and day out, the same situation. Give it to God. And then allow God to use you for the purpose he placed you on this earth for. All right, God goes on to say, mouths upon mouths of illegal entrances. These are the spiritual doorways that the enemy uses to gain access into your life. Let's say that again, mouths upon mouths of illegal entrances, period. These are the spiritual doorways that the enemy uses to gain access into your life, such as unforgiveness, bitterness, and unbelief. My children are allowing the enemy access into their lives because they do not pick up the cross daily and place their faith in the blood that covers. It has always been in the blood. All things are in the blood. If not, my son Jesus shed that blood in vain. And we all know that it is not the truth. He did not shed that blood in vain. The enemy is the deceiver, not the blood. The blood rectifies all that the enemy condemns. And rectify means put right or correct. So what did God say? The blood rectifies all that the enemy condemns. Children, I am not a clandestine father. I am a father of love and protection. I am just and forgiving. I do everything out in the open for all to see the loving, caring father that I am. And he started out by saying, I am not a clandestine father. And I looked up clandestine. It's kept secret or done secretively, especially because of illicit sin or whatever. But God does everything in the open. He's not like the devil who does everything, you know, in the dark behind closed doors. God is an open God, and everything he does is out in the open for all to see. He doesn't have to repent for anything he does. God said, the enemy does not have any jurisdiction over you, my people. He has absolutely no part in a judiciary system in my kingdom. I have given you jurisdiction over the enemy. The courtrooms have been opened up in this season, and all things are being settled in your favor in the judiciary court system in heaven. Stand in your authority and declare victory over the enemy's schemes. Now, God started having us teach on the courtroom a couple years ago. He called certain people to write books on the courtroom, which they didn't do, because this was a time now when God's bringing the truth out about his courts in heaven. And I don't know about you, but I, for one, never even paid attention to that until a couple years ago when he started talking about it, and I didn't know there was a courtroom in heaven. All right? And if you did, wonderful. Why didn't you share it? Amen? God said, I am the legal judge of all things that pertain to my beloved ones. You see, little ones, the enemy would have you believe he has authority over you for many reasons, but that is not so. Now, God started out, I am the legal judge of all things. And we could stop right there because he is the legal judge of all things that pertain to this world. But then he said that pertain to my beloved ones. And the reason why he said that, because he's writing this to you. He wants you to know that he's the legal judge over you. No man, no woman, no devil, but only God. All right, then. He keeps overstepping the boundary line. He's talking about the devil, God is. He keeps overstepping the boundary line in your lives because you do not stand on the truth of my word and do not engage the legal system of heaven in your warfare against the enemy. Now, this means you are not using the spiritual authority and weapons that God has given you, such as prayer, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit to fight against the enemy and his schemes. And God told me a couple years ago, my people are not using all the weapons of warfare that I have given them. And that's whenever he really emphasized the blood. And then he said, it's called a blanket of blood, wrap ourselves in it. And then there's different things he brought to our attention that were really weapons and we weren't using them. All right. And see, the devil knows that we don't know these things. And so he sneaks up and he does things to us, knowing that we don't know to take it to the courtroom. And this is why, God, I hear God say, because I am a legal judge and the enemy is an illegal judge. So the enemy's always trying to judge you and make you believe something that you're something you are not. All right? Then God said, no more espionage. So espionage means a practice of spying or of using spies. Then God said, a liar is finished. He does these little statements. His credibility is smeared over the earth, the quarters of hell and damnation. He will pay a price for the havoc he has wreaked in my children's lives and also in the household of faith. See, just stop there. You know, God is in control, and God is going to make Satan pay for everything he put you through. But then he's also looking at you and say, how can you be so dumb to allow him to do this to you? You know, I'm in the same boat you are. You know, things come my way and I get all wrapped up in it. And before I pray, you know, and I do dumb stuff, then when I have to go repent and pray, and then I find out the truth. And then God shows me how to walk through it, where I am the winner, not the loser. And we've all done that in different times in our life. But God is wanting us to trample over the devil's head now and not allow him to take us down those paths of destruction that he did in the past. He wants us to go in total victory in every area in our life. And it's not too late to do that. All right? Then God said, I am not part of the earthly legal system. That system is corrupt to the very core of all things. On the other hand, my courtroom in heaven is ruled by the righteous judge. The righteous judge weighs every situation in the balance of righteousness, and from that plate of righteousness, verdicts are given. All right? It's not even our legal system is horrible here on earth. Be God's legal system in heaven. If we learn to take everything to the courtroom, I think Brother Brett has a new book. It's coming out in a month, you said, Brett, and it's going to really help you guys learn how to go to the courtroom, right? All right. So he said, the balance of righteousness, and from that place of righteousness, verdicts are given. All right, imagine one day standing before the righteous judge of the universe. This is John 5:22, by the way. Imagine one day standing before the righteous judge of the universe who knows every action, thought, and motive. One day this will become the reality for all those who have ever lived. The Son of God is that judge because the Father committed all judgment to him. So who is a righteous judge? Jesus. He's the one that's judging us, and you find that in John 5:22. And then he will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. And that's in Psalm 98:9. His Father gave him full, so God gave Jesus full authority to mete out this judgment. As the judge, he incorporates an equal standard in every ruling. The scripture testifies of this judgment when it says the Lord has a crown for Paul. And 2 Corinthians 4:8 says, fortunately this crown is not limited to Paul only, and 2 Timothy 4:8 tells us, but unto all them also that love his Christ appearing. God, in his word, God tells each one of us to don't lose your crown. So Paul wasn't the only one that was getting a crown. All right, so don't let people tell you that you don't have a crown, because you do. And God told me one time, don't let any man steal your crown. In other words, I wasn't supposed to be listening to what people were trying to tell me. I was not. And I was supposed to keep my ears in tune to the voice of the Father and follow his voice and do the things he was telling me to do. Man will try to take your crown. All right, it is important to note that the Word of God stands as a standard by which all truth is judged. The Lord Jesus Christ remains the righteous judge by which all is judged. Unfortunately, far too many judges pervert judgment by incorporating a changing standard into their decisions. God does not do that. All right, the phrase weighed in the balance and found wanting comes from the Bible and means to be judged deficient or substandard after being tested or reviewed. I think God has told me 3 times in the 40 years I've been preaching that he has weighed his people in the balance and they have come up wanting, and his people are the churches. And so the phrase weighed in the balance and found wanting comes from the Bible and means to be judged deficient or substandard after being tested or reviewed. So how are you faring as God is weighing you in the balance? You have to think about this. You have to think about how you're living, how you're thinking, and what you're doing to other people. God's weighing that all in the balance. Daniel 5:27 says, Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. I can't say the other 2 words, so I just use Tekel because that's what we're talking about. One time I preached on it, and I could say those words, and my daughter said, there's no way you could ever pronounce those words. But the Holy Spirit took over, and he just spoke all those words. It was an awesome teaching. All right. So Daniel 5:27, you can go home and read Daniel chapter 5, and it tells you how God was weighing those people, and he told them they were found wanting. God said, you will never hear one unrighteous verdict given in my jurisdiction. You hear that? The enemy can only come and observe the court cases. See, I don't know anything about the courtroom, guys, so all this is straight from God. And you know, and I just put it down as he tells it to me, and I give it to you as I have it written. You will never hear one unrighteous verdict given in my jurisdiction. The enemy can only come and observe the court cases. He can have absolutely no input into the cases. I didn't know that. In reality, I have already judged the cases before they appeared before me in the courtroom. I thought that was neat. You know, because God told me, bring your circumstances to the courtroom, And he usually tells me what courtroom. And then he says, ask me to make the enemy be there also so he can hear my judgment. So that he's only there to hear the judgment that God is meting out. All right. He's already done his dirty work down here. And now we're in the courtroom and he has to shut up. What they call the gag order. All right. All right. God goes on to say, many cases are never heard. Well, let me go back here, Brad, to the other one. You will never hear. Okay. You will never hear one unrighteous verdict given in my jurisdiction. The enemy can only come and observe the court cases. He can have absolutely no input into the cases. I, in reality, have already judged the cases before they appeared before me in the courtroom. Now, many cases are never heard in the courtroom, and therefore my people stay in the bondage of the seminary of death that the enemy has in place in his kingdom. Now let's stop there. So what God is saying here, if you don't take your case up to the courtroom, God can't do anything about it. Because he said many cases are never heard in the courtroom because you never took them there. You just complained to your brother and your sister. You just threw a fit, did whatever. But you never sit down before the Father and said, God, I'm bringing this to the courtroom. And I want the enemy there to hear what you have to say. That's what he's saying here. So many cases are never heard in the courtroom. That's why you stay in bondage. Because you don't take them to the courtroom. I have found out over the past year and a half, since I've been taking my cases to the courtroom, whatever courtroom God tells me to bring them to, I have found freedom in whatever I'm taking to him. It breaks. Are you understanding this? In fact, when I was so sick there this last week, and I said, God, I'm bringing this to the court. Even though he said Job, quietly, sweetly, he said Job. And it was a Job experience. I said, Father, I'm bringing this to the courtroom because I don't believe I should have to carry this Job experience. And it was after that that somebody from this church said, I know what's wrong with you. God explained it to me. But if I would have never done that, I could maybe still be sick today. Do you understand that? So, guys, start using the courtroom. There's all kind of books out there, Brett, and I don't know who all's written them, but they're out there, aren't they? And so get them and get into your word, get into the books. I think the books would help you better. They break it down and explain it to you. Okay, so therefore my people stay in bondage of the seminary of death. Now, I thought that was different. The seminary of death that the enemy has in place in his kingdom. It is only as you enter into the protocol of heavenly judgment that your case will be heard, see that, before the dark side, and the judgment of freedom will be heard. It's only after you follow protocol, take it to the courts, it's then God can judge it. Now, I was going to put down there the seminary death. I looked that up, and it's awesome, and I was going to put it in there, and I forgot. I'm sorry. All right, God said, the enemies of the cross are constantly before your faces. They are there to give you false judgments and make you believe their lies. All right, you know, with the sickness, I hear, you're going to die. No, I'm not. You're going to die. No, I'm not. I hear voices on the outside. She's going to soon be dead. No, I'm not. Because God said he can't kill me, right? So, no, I'm not going to die. He told me I would go into rapture, and that's what I stand on. I do not stand on voices. Are you listening? All right. God said, if you do not close your ears to their words, they will suck you into the orbs of darkness and one day torment you in eternal flames of hell. If you do, we said the enemies of the cross are constantly before your faces. They are there to give you false judgments and make you believe their lies. And if you do not close your ears to their words, they will suck you into the orbs of darkness and one day torment you in eternal flames of hell. Now, when I got this orbs of darkness, I spent 3 hours searching that. And I'm surprised how many people say orbs aren't real or they're all demonic, which, you know, you can search it out yourself. And orbs are light. He's trying to suck you into the light of darkness. And we know that darkness is light. You read your word, it's right in there. Satan is doing everything in his power to cause confusion in your mind. He's trying to take over your mind, your will, and your body. It's up to you who wins this battle. We have a courtroom that we can take our cases to. And we have a righteous judge who loves us, died for us, who wants to see us set free. All right, God said the courtroom of justice is open 24/7. The righteous judge is always on call to hear your cases. Now listen to this. I thought this was interesting. Some of you take too long to prepare your cases. And the enemy wins more points than he was supposed to win. Because I know some people say, I'm working on that courtroom case. I'm working on that courtroom case a month later. I'm working on that courtroom case. See, and all that time they're working on the courtroom case, the enemy is gaining ground. I don't know about you, but something comes my way, I immediately go to the courtroom. I'm not going to do, wait 2-3 months or weeks. I immediately take it to the courtroom because I need immediate action. God said, always keep in mind that judgment starts in the houses of worship. I am the judge of all things, and I do not judge falsely. Righteousness is a precise weapon in all heavenly courtroom cases. And he's called us into righteousness, has he not? God said, I have spoken of the overthrow of the courtrooms in the natural, but it also includes the courts of darkness. I have spoken of the overthrow of the courtrooms in the natural, but it also includes the courts of darkness. God said, the mock courtrooms will be thrown down, and all will finally see who the righteous judge is. Blinded eyes will be opened to the truth of my words. These courtrooms on earth are going to be, he's going to throw them down. And he's coming with his righteous judgment, and he's going to judge what's going on. God said, I have brought forth those who will hear my voice of instructions from the heavenly courtrooms, and they shall write book after book on my courtroom judgments. When some hear my voice about courtroom protocol, because they have never heard it before, they question if it is really the great I am speaking. Are you not the remnant? Are you not preparing a way in the wilderness? Then why do you question the voice of authority? All right, so he said up here, when some hear my voice about courtroom protocol, because they have never heard it before, they question if it is really the great I am speaking, because they never heard it before. But you are the remnant, and God is revealing the secrets of his word to you, and it's up to you're supposed to give it forth. And really, if you dig deep enough in the word, it's in there. Everything he speaks in these things, these words that I give you is the teachings. I always research everything to make sure there's word to back it up, because I don't want to be a false prophet, and I don't want to be teaching you something that's not truth. God goes on to say, do you understand how many souls are going into the abyss because you are not being obedient to my still small voice? I will take your writing mantle and I will give it to another. Believe me, you are not the only one I can anoint to write my courtroom decrees. Listen up. You're always complaining about how weary you are. Well, I am more weary. I am weary of hearing the excuses you give for not writing the ledgers. Don't be another Samson. One day when you decide to write, the anointing in words will not be there. And then gnashing of teeth will prevail all across the land. So any of you in here, I'm not even talking about just courtroom books. Any of you in here that God said you would be writing a book, and if he's told you the title, you need to be writing the book or your writing mantle will be taken from you. Not everybody can write a book, but an anointing from God, that book would just run off out of your pen. Are you listening? So God's only talking to people that he's called to write books in this part. He said, the courtroom doors in heaven are open, and I am sending forth righteous judgments. Where do you stand? Huge question, and still you stand and stutter. You shouldn't be stuttering. You should know exactly where you stand. Are you in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, or are you still playing games? Are you listening? Just because you come and sit in the house of God doesn't mean you have a seat in heaven. Well, I slip up every now and then. You know what? You slip up more times than you care to admit. And those slip-ups are going to take you out of heaven. And that's a fact. Oh, you ought to go to church meet. Boy, we really have a good time. Then boop, 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 boop goes all the curse words. You aren't even a witness to anything except the devil. They have a right to call you a hypocrite. Come on. And right now, we're all going through some trying times. If you aren't, just thank God. We're all going through some really trying times. But something happened in my household this weekend. During the week it was. And I was sitting out in my study praying about it. I was crying and praying about it. And God said this household was being tested on their love walk. And they failed. When somebody was down, they were kicked. Oh, look what they're doing to me. Look what they're doing to me. Look what you did to Jesus. And he stayed the course. Are you listening to all this? Nobody is guaranteed a seat in heaven. If you get in your word tells you, you need to work out your salvation. How? Daily. So once saved, always saved is not true. My two boys asked me all day, are you going to go to heaven, Mama? I said, I'm working on it. I said, but I don't really know for sure. Because if I was to, I could slip up, I could walk a perfect line, slip up 1 second, devil could give me a heart attack and kill me, and I wouldn't go to heaven. It's just that simple. You have to work out your salvation. You have to make sure you don't let the devil come in and pull the rug out from underneath your feet. You know, you think when you're being ignorant to your husband or your wife, that you're being smart. You're not. You're about the dumbest thing that ever walked 2 feet. Because, you know, all right, well, let's just talk about the truth. The pastor who, you know, he was a pastor, and his wife slapped him. And she said, oh, please forgive me. He said, I'm not going to forgive you. And he left the house, had a car wreck right down the road and died and went straight to hell. Because his wife said, please forgive me. He's no, not going to do it. And he was a pastor. Well, no, you know, he was solidified in his walk with God. That one slip up took him to hell. The reason why we know the story is because God got him out of hell and sent him back to tell the people, you need to watch what you do. All right. Quit judging your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, whoever. Start looking inward at who you are and what you've been doing to people and who you hurt and are still hurting because you're hurting. Hurting people hurt people. At least they taught that in psychology, didn't they? But it is the truth. If you watch, it is the truth. So what right do you have to judge anybody? Well, you know, I only take a little bit of drugs every now and then. Hey, that's the same as taking one every day. Well, I just sip a bottle here and there. No difference. And Gabriel and I was talking the other day, and he said, well, I thought all sins were equal. I said, well, you need to read your word. There are some sins that, you know, are a little bit worse than others, but a sin is a sin is a sin. And a sin will take you to hell. Okay, well, let's get back to what God had to say here. The courtroom doors in heaven are open, and I am sending forth righteous judgments. Where do you stand? Oh, that's what I read. Huge question, and still you stand and stutter. Then God said, slam, slam, slam. The doors are being closed on your mantles for writing, and I am sending forth a proclamation. Go forth and seek out new writers. The ones that will follow my still small voice and write while there is still time. God's closing the door and you're here supposed to be running and are not, it's going to be too late. Time, God says, time as you know it no longer exists. I am working on my timetable of emergency. That sort of threw me too when he said that. Time is running out. Answer my call to write while the doors are still open. Many are coming forth with truth on their lips. They have been in the presence of the Almighty One, and they know who their God is, and they are equipped to do great and mighty exploits for the righteous cause. Why do you plunder the words I give you? You are to take my words by faith and do. There is no what if, that's he's talking about plunder. There is no what if, just do what you are told to do and don't look back. I am for you and not against you. You are your own hindering force. You hinder your own walk. You are to walk by faith, not by what if. The time has come. The books are open. So I looked at Revelation 20:12, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. Court is in session, and that's why I titled this that, because God is judging his people. The word has been going out, God is shaking the churches. Well, he's been judging the churches. He's been judging teachers. He's been judging evangelists. He's been judging prophets. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand before my Father in heaven one day and have him say, depart me, you worker of iniquity, I do not know you. I'd rather take the slander of the people in this world, the people who talk behind your back, the people who put you down, the people who come to with for you. They're around about you, and they take, but yet they never give a good word about you. They always put you down. That doesn't bother me because they did the very same thing to Jesus. And Jesus told me right up front when I first started, read the red letters. And I did. And what Jesus went through, we also go through. He was the Son of God. We are God's children. And if the Son of God went through what he went through for you and I, then you and I, as God's children, shouldn't be complaining about any suffering that we have to go through. But we do. And I'll put my hand up. Then I have to go grip my teeth and say, Father, I'm sorry that I complained. What's Satan been after in the last couple of years? Your love walk. He's thrown everything in your path that he could throw in your path to cause you to get out of the love walk. And we all slip and fall. We really are. We do. But we don't stay down. The word says, a child of God falls 7 times in one day and gets up 7 times in one day. In other words, we're not going to be perfect, but we have to know what we've done, and then we have to take it to the Father. Father, forgive me. I knew what I was doing, but I let the enemy take control of my mouth and said things I should never have said. Are you listening here? How many of you are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter in? In other words, you're doing everything that God's called you for to do. You're not making excuses. And you know, I'm hearing God say this: Satan has been plundering your goods. Because he knows if he can plunder your goods long enough, he'll get you in the end. So you know what? You have to say, that's just goods. I don't need it. If somebody else wants it, let them have it. All I'm looking for is that crown and my mansion in heaven, serving my Father here on earth. God always told me I would suffer. And I've taught about that. The Bible tells you that. He said, you're one of those who will always suffer and you always walk in sorrow. Tell me that right up front when I first started. So I can't complain. I still said, here I am, Lord, use me. not understanding one lick of what I was headed for. And I've never said, Father, I'm so sorry. I said, here I am. But there's many times I've sat down and said, oh God, I need more strength. I need your grace, your love, to fulfill this calling you have upon my life. Just like Jesus when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, I really don't want to drink this cup, but thy will be done. He didn't want to go through the beating. He didn't want to go through what he had to go through. But he cried and prayed it through and finally said, thy will be done. So if you have to cry and pray it through, make sure your bottom line is, thy will be done. People look at you, they don't understand you because they don't know you. All they see is what you show them. But whenever you walk with God really close, you no longer look at people through your own eyes, but then God lets you see people through his eyes. Brother Alan was telling me the other day that I think God said, you've honored me, now I'm going to honor you. He told him that personally while he was sitting here the other Sunday night, I think it was. And then he said, I gave him a prophetic word. And the first thing God said was, you've honored me, now I'm going to honor you. And then he went on to say, that excited him. Because God first told it to him, and then he confirmed it through a prophet. See how good our God is. He's not trying to tear us down. He's not trying to make us quit the race. He's saying, come on, you can make it. My father taught me, you know, you've heard this before, but he taught me as a very young girl. When you're down, you pull your own self up by your bootstraps. Nobody else will. They'll kick you while you're down. And, you know, so I knew when the body of Christ come against me, family members, whoever, they were kicking me while I was down. But I knew how to pull myself up through the name of Jesus. See, what you learn, what your parents taught you as little kids, if you really watch, it really comes into your grown-up life. Now, are you ready? Are you really ready to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant? And if you are called to be a writer and you haven't been diligent about writing, are you ready to tell God, don't take my mantle of writing from me? Don't give it to another. I'm ready to write that book. I'm ready to do what you call me forth to do. He told me to write a book, I know, 30 years ago. I have 5 lines now. I'm trying to write that book. I'll pull it out and I say, okay, God, I'm waiting. What should I say? I have 5 whole lines. It's going to be like these teachings. I'll sit down and just be praying. And all of a sudden he starts talking and then I have a whole teaching together. That's the way it'll be with the book and his timing. But some of you, you're supposed to be writing a book right now, and you're failing God. The altar's open.